All right, we are plugged in, and I'm joined by Jim West for our usual chat. Jim, you haven't been on for a couple of weeks anyway, been busy, but you're always around and plugging in with me at the most important time, so that's all good. I know, actually, Jim, a lot of listeners ask about you, even on YouTube. They're interested in your work, so this is really good because you've done so much great work over the years, and I'm very happy when I hear that. Don't hear a lot on the ultrasound front, but in regards to what's happening today and your pollution work, that has really, really been pushed out there. By a lot of us, and John Rappaport and myself as well, and I think a lot of people have got that. Still a bit cold on the old ultrasound front, but we continue to push. I do on my shows anyway. Anyone who listens to me regularly knows I'm always talking about ultrasound causation with what's going on, and I'm always trying to plug your work, and your books are up on the website, crazfiles.com. Anyway, I'd say welcome to our listeners, Jim. Always great to have you plugged in. I'll say thanks to my members for helping me to continue. Well, it's Sunday, the 7th of June here in Sydney, Australia, and how are you going, Jim? It's a mad world we're living in, for sure.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm glad to be on the show. Thanks, Adam.
What's happening in your neck of the woods, Jim? A lot of I've been trying to cover this a bit. They've had the whole COVID-19 scam going on, and a lot of people waking up to that and protesting, and a lot of good things happening, I feel, anyway. And now they've switch-footed into the race riots, which is always a good card for them to pull out, isn't it, to cause chaos and keep us bogged down in the mud of fear.
Yeah. It looks like the race riot thing is a trite response, sort of like a bridge, you know, because right now they want to move everybody into it looks like they're allowing everything to open up now. The lockdowns are being relieved in many areas, and it looks like they're using the race riots as sort of like a political bridge. But I'm not sure where the bridge is going. But in our area, we supposedly had a huge rise in COVID cases, but they're not telling people that we had a huge rise in COVID testing. So I think that's, I guess, par for the course. A friend of mine who I thought was really brilliant, I saw him on the street, and he was saying, watch out for the virus. I thought he was joking. And
yeah, I know.
Then he told me that you know, that we had the highest rate of out here in the West. You know, we had the highest rate of COVID cases. You know, and I told him what I just said right now. You know, that they just started the testing, and he took offense and he like disappeared, walked away, and it's very unusual because he's known as a big talker who won't let you go. You know, so that was. Bad news, you know. I mean, I was a little shocked, and he saw the shock on my face, and I guess maybe he couldn't handle it. He said, I don't want to split hairs, like saying what I'm saying is splitting hairs, you know, hardly, you know. So that was that's what's happening here in the COVID front, you know.
That's a hard one, isn't it? I do know people. I went over that on my last members show, just talking about how I do know some families around, and their kids cough or sniffle, and they're taking them immediately to the hospital to get tested for the COVID-19. And then they're eagerly waiting the results because it's a long weekend here in Australia, and they're not sure if the results are going to come back in time so they can go away or not. Because we've all been in lockdown, and as I was saying on my show today with Jason, then many of them are not going away because they need to or really want to. They're just going away on holiday because they've been told that they can now. You know, so they're running and getting their kids tested in this climate for COVID-19, Jim, when there's absolutely nothing wrong with their kids. There's nothing wrong with them. They don't have any of this. And, you know, it creates a lot of problems because with all these apps and government stuff, and you're also, it's putting you on the books, you know. You're going to the hospital, they've got your details, you've been put down there in the books that you've got tested for COVID-19. This is not, it's putting your kids at risk for this whole creepy kind of government Orwellian sort of things that we're seeing here, you know, and it's like, why do it? And then they're eagerly waiting the test results, and then I'll see them a little bit later, and no, they're fine, they don't have it. And I was talking on the show about this, that they I can't understand people. It's almost like they want it. It's almost like they want to have this in their lives for some kind of sick reason. I don't know. They want their kids together so they can tell people they have it. I have no idea what's going on, but I do know a lot of people who believe in it so much that they're actually searching for it, Jim.
I know. That's a strange thing. There's people. Some people like want it to be as if it's their opportunity to be brave and to be part of an army and to do whatever they're supposed to be, and their talent kicks in, which is to be like a little dog or a big dog, you know, pretty dangerous dogs in some cases. And so I guess the dog-like people, they see this as an opportunity to shine, and they just it kicks in, you know, and you can't talk to them, you know. I obey the rules, but I just, you know, I wear my mask if I'm supposed to wear a mask, and I keep social distance and all that. But if I make a small remark, like I just said earlier in the show, some people, they take offense, you know, and also I see people like, I was in a group meeting, last week, you know, for example, and I moved into this one area, and they said, this is for people who believe in social distance only. So that meant I had to leave, right? That was the implication, right? So I did leave, and I went to another area where there was less social distance, right? And then I noticed that these people who are big hotshots over the social distance thing, they would break the rule whenever they felt they wanted to talk to somebody who was politically important to them. You know, they would go over and cozy up to them and even touch them, you know, as they were talking to them. Then they go back to the social distance thing, you know. So, like, what's it? You know, it's a psychological education, you know, social psychological education for me, you know. Have you noticed that? The social distance people will break the rule whenever they feel like it, depending on how much they want to talk to somebody or who they think it's important to talk to. Who they like, who they don't like, you know, like they use it to oppress people they don't like, and then they ignore the rule for people they like, you know.
Yeah, they'll ignore the rules when it suits them just fine and makes them comfortable, but then when they see other people not obeying the social distancing laws, they'll thumb their nose up at them and and all of this. It's a form of social control, but it's a lot of egoism in it, and it's a lot of it separates communities. It creates infighting and ugliness and all of this and stupidity, really. Yeah, and you get these, a lot of these people playing God who read the newspapers and watch the news at 6 p.m. every night, and they're goody little two-shoes, and they do what the government tells them, and they want to tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing in regards to COVID-19 and social distancing. But when it suits them, as you said, yeah, they do whatever the hell they want. Yeah, little dictators.
Yeah, you know, by the way, I did do a ton of study on what is a virus and how a virus is tested, and is the whole concept of virus valid. So if you want to get into that later, I think I'm ready.
I was going to ask you, yeah, we'll get into that now. Because I'm trying to push that as much as I can, this is why they're switch-footed into the race wars, you know. They're really quick, aren't they? But you get us all infighting, and we have these silly Antifa Black Lives Matter people protesting in Australia, Jim, and it just baffles me. So what does that have to do with us? But there they are, thousands of them on the streets, the same funded people, you know, just ridiculous nonsense, trying to get attention any way they can. And they're protesting for all the wrong reasons, you know.
Are they protesting in Australia over George Floyd?
Yes, they're protesting all around Australia. There's thousands of them yesterday. There were big protests. Right. And the same kinds of mobs, you know.
Well, you know what? Somebody told me a theory. It seems like a lot of people have, because of COVID-19 and because of the lockdowns and the unemployment, they have nothing to do. And they're given nothing to do, especially the young people. And so these race riots are like something to do. Like, I would probably go to one if I had nothing to do, you know, even though I think it's political manipulation, you know. I still might go, you know. It's just out of boredom, you know.
Yeah, a lot of young people, yeah, with black on and hoodies on, you know.
It's pretty crazy, you know.
Crazy in the U.S., yeah. That was mad.
Not giving people any opportunity to get back into normal society, you know. Although they're trying here to open up, and it looks like they're opening up, and things are starting to happen, you know.
Have those riots stopped a little bit, or is it continuing? The riots.
What do you say?
The riots in the United States are they continuing in Washington and all this, or have they abated a little bit?
I'm sorry, I'm not totally up on them, but I know that they're still happening a little bit here and there, but I don't know if it's. They're probably diminishing.
Has it got worse though?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, but I'm not really tuned into all that stuff. I mean, I watched it a few days ago, and I catch it here and there, and I know they're still talking about it. Yeah, I think it's still going on. I don't know what form. I don't know if it's as violent as it was last week, you know. But I know it was pretty violent there for a while.
Yeah. I saw a lot of videos. Terrible. Terrible, man.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of that activism of all kinds is controlled by the government, you know, because as we said before, when they had the Gulf War activism in Washington, D.C., nobody knew about it, you know, they just wasn't on TV, you know, so that, if they really wanted to suppress any riots, all they have to do is block it off the media, you know, but instead they enhance it, you know. So,
a lot of weirdness around the George Floyd murder, isn't there, by the cop? It all seems staged to me as well, and it had the desired effect anyway.
Yeah, you never know if these things are staged or not. Yeah.
Certainly looked it, and there's a lot of strange stuff coming up about him, and. Which is probably engineered as well, but the way that it was dealt with and everything that happened, yeah, of course it's gonna set off this, and I feel like people are just playing into the hands of this system behind this, and there's a lot of high strangeness coming out about this now, and we do hear a lot about George Soros funding over 100 of these kinds of groups, and I was saying today as well, it was very interesting in I've forgotten the place in the US where it all started.
The COVID thing, I don't know.
No, where George Floyd was murdered.
I don't know, San Francisco?
I'll think of it in a minute. Trump did come out and say, yeah, Minneapolis, sorry, oh, brain freeze, cement in my brain. Trump did come out and did mention not long after that happened and things started to fire up a little bit that there seemed to be these people, these troublemakers being bussed in. They were coming from outside of Minneapolis And then you did see some video of very suspicious people smashing windows and trying to throw fuel on the fire, which is very suspicious indeed. And I think, as I said before, you didn't see that with the LA riots, because I saw a documentary on that and it was a lot of archives and media archives, but now everybody's filming and they're all onto it so fast. And a lot of suspicious behavior was filmed immediately and people asking him questions, you know, so it was, that was pretty good about that. They didn't get away with it like they used to, but it still created a lot of problems, you know.
Yeah,
which is a shame. Well,
maybe this is all about this whole thing of COVID and the thing about, I mean, part of this COVID thing and the race riot thing could be that the system is allowing competition between thinking humans and dog-like humans. Because dog-like humans make great factory workers, you know, and maybe thinking humans don't make good factory workers, but the system needs factory workers, so it's allowing these different types of humans to sort themselves out in the world, you know, to find their place, you know, like we're gravitating to certain media that we trust, you know, and they're gravitating towards media that they trust. And we're all forming our own worlds so we can coexist in the world. You know, there's different kinds of humans, you know. But the power needs the dog-like people, right? And they need free-thinking people. So rather than that, maybe instead of there being a war where the thinking people would lose because there's not too many of them, because right now, for instance, that guy Rose, who has who interviewed David Icke or Ike, he has made his platform independent of YouTube, because he got kicked off from YouTube. Same, but at the same time, he got more views than anybody, right? So. Mm-hmm. So he got a lot of publicity by being banned.
Well,
there's that kind of phenomenon of getting a lot of publicity by being banned.
Yeah, I noticed. I was thinking that. I didn't say anything, but I noticed Alex Jones did that as well. Like, he actually, after he got banned from YouTube and everything, and now he has banned video. Is it called banned video or he's got a new video channel out. Like, I'll just have a look at it and confirm it soon. But it's similar to Mike Adams is doing at Brighty on. It's a new one, and Alex Jones does it live on there. So it says it's the most censored and blocked video platform in the world. And I feel like, well, they've created a lot of hype around that.
It's like the most hidden secret in the world, you know, like on the front page of the New York Times, you know, like those kind of things. It's the banned world versus the not banned world, and the fake band and the real band, and the, you know.
It actually is banned video, Jim. It's called banned video. It's basically the Alex Jones channel doing their videos on this new format. It's very neat. I'll link you that anyway so you can have a look.
Right. But it's the
I'll put
world
it there
is
for
sorting
you now.
Out.
There it goes. Yeah.
Good.
Anyway. Bandvideo.com. So but why would they want to create more hype on their videos when they're already getting so many views on YouTube and stuff anyway?
You're talking about
what you were just talking about people getting more traction maybe after their videos being banned or blocked.
Well, why? Well, they always want more play. I'm not sure what you're.
Well,
you're
I mean, like
at.
Alex Jones or Mike Adams or whatever, some of these people were huge on YouTube. And then YouTube supposedly blocked their videos, and now they've created these other channels, which I'm just, they definitely were censored, though. I mean, but you think there's another power play behind all this that's manipulating everybody?
I think it's part of the creation of a multicultural world where it's not going to be on, it's going to be the cultural world will be the band versus the not band, the mainstream versus the non-mainstream, the alternative versus the mainstream. And I guess YouTube is going to describe itself as mainstream, you know, so it's going to ban people, but they're not blocking it at the ISP level. They're allowing people to organize, like Alex Jones with his band video platform, and Natural News has his Brighteon video platform, and this Rose guy is with London Real is getting his thing going together. He said he was paying £58,000 per month for a
Shit.
internet connection, you know, or something like that.
Crikeys.
You know, but he's getting membership. He has a huge
Oh,
membership
that's a lot of
thing.
membership, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah,
I'd
but
be
you
dead
know,
and buried.
he's creating an independent he's somehow surviving independently, you know. So these independent there's going to be a war of independent band people pretty soon, you know. Like there already is. You have Natural News, which is beginning to sound like fake news now, even though he was one of the leaders of Bravery, I thought for a while. And there's actually a big rift between Alex Jones and Natural News and this Ro London Real and Natural News. Natural News is fighting all the people that are like us in a way, in terms of the like virus existence and the validity of the COVID disease. You know, he's actually advocating a form of censorship. He's asking people to ignore David Icke and London Real and us, you know, because we question the virus, you know, because he uses the virus thing to sell his herbs, you know,
Well,
virus
yeah, that's the
fear.
herbals for the virus, the tablets and stuff. Yeah, Mike Adams does. Yeah, so he pushes that the COVID-19 virus is real because you go on his website and you can buy all the herbal formulations that are supposedly going to help you not or heal that viral infection in your body.
Right. He pushes the idea that the world's going to end because of COVID-19,
But
just like the pharmaceutical people
the
do.
same thing,
He's
yeah.
pushing the same idea with the full force, with the full fear, you know, and which is really weird, you know. He wants to say vaccines are bad and you should take his herbs, and but you should believe in the great fear the world's going to end because of COVID-19. You know, so this. Wacko, you know, if you ask, you know. And he's saying ignore. He's not saying we should have conversation about it either. He's saying ignore anybody who says otherwise, which is his version of censorship, because he's free market, so he claims to be free market, you know, and free market in ideas. But he's also telling all his members and anybody who lands near him that they should ignore anybody who doesn't believe what he believes, you know. It frees
Well,
them out. He's advocating that they be frozen out.
Alex Jones, InfoWars store sell a lot of survival products, for all what you're talking about there, and herbs
To
and
the world,
all
yeah.
sorts of products. Yeah, lots of things, for storable foods and
Yeah,
water
right.
filters and everything. So, yeah,
Right.
you get that a lot with there's people in Australia who do it. A lot of them who they're so you see that they're seem on our side and they're fighting the system as well, and you go on their website and they're selling a lot of these supplements and things as well like that. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Ooh.
I think your platform is one that invites conversation. Like, we would love to have a virologist show up. We would love to have Mike Adams show up, you know, on your show or whatever. I mean, he's not going to do it because he's super big time and he's into his own brand of censorship, you know. So, but
Well, they
I
did.
think that.
They did take a whole bunch of my videos off YouTube, and I'm only a small guy. I don't even matter, Jim. I found that a little bit crazy, you know? I mean, I went on there and they were just gone. The John Rappaport, he doesn't sell anything. Yeah. I mean, they were just the talks that he did in an interview that I did with him, but they reached in there and took them out. They left a couple up, but they took some out. Maybe it's just the bots doing it, I guess, algorithms, but, you know, I don't even have 2,000 followers on YouTube. And you look at some of these other videos, they've got hundreds of thousands of views, you know? But it was just a simple chats with John Rappaport got taken down from my channel, which is bad censorship.
John Rappaport is impeccably logical and
yeah, he doesn't threaten anyone or swear or anything. He just did some talks and I said, hey, I'll put them up. And they just didn't like the first one out of Wuhan, which did contain the pollution stuff that he was talking about and stuff like that. The first couple of talks, two or three, they definitely just kept taking those, and I did put them back up again, and I simplified them, but they took them straight down again. They had only a couple of hundred views each.
Yeah. Well, you know, he breaks the main rule, which is you're not allowed to state a non-mainstream view of COVID-19. Yet I know that this... Rose London Real has YouTubes up, which are blatantly describing that the virus is fake. They're interviewing Andrew Kaufman, this MIT professor, who tells us how the virus is fake. You know, it's the science is fake, and he's up there. They have a 10-minute video of him there. At the same time, they were banned for the longer version of the video. So I don't get it, you know.
This is the video you sent me today, Jim, on unmasking the lies around COVID-19, facts versus fiction, by Dr. Kaufman.
Right, right. It's a great explanation of why viruses are fake. You know,
he's a pretty deep guy. I mean, do you want to explain what he was saying for folks? Because you kind of it's very deep information in that. But for those who want that simplified, can you simplify that for listeners? And I'll post the link as well. But what's your thoughts on Dr. Andrew Kaufman and his work and what he's saying?
Well, he says the virus virology is pretty fake, and the virus probably doesn't even exist. You know, based on the isolation criticism method of criticizing viruses, saying they're not really isolated, and that they're the modern studies are just based on the older studies, where it's very clear that isolation was never achieved. And the modern studies are using as much high-tech PCR, polymerase chain reaction, nucleic acid studies as possible in order to smoke screen everybody with high-tech. You know, you try to read one of those studies, there's nothing but high-tech words, and you have to assume that it must be real because you can't understand it. But I can understand it, but it is a brain strain. It's basically they're taking one aspect of the perception of a virus, a so-called virus, and they're making that the main thrust of the virological science, and that is to just use PCR, and you know, they can test test for nucleic acid with PCR. And claim that they're discovering a virus, stuff like that. But anyway, it goes through that and shows how it's fake, because at the root of all of it is there's no isolation of the virus. And in order to understand anything in this world, you really have to isolate it. If you want to know how a bicycle works, you have to be aware that it's a separate component from a bicycle. It's not the, you know what I mean? If you want to know something about your mother, you have to be able to distinguish your mother from your father. You know, that's the way it works. When you want to when you want to know about something, you have to isolate it. You have to pick it. you have to pick that part, that component. You have to be able to twist it around, look at the different aspects of it. And that's called isolation. It's a standard procedure in any knowledge seeking, in any science. If you want to know what water is, you would measure its melting point, the boiling point. Actually, I'm straying off from his explanation, but it's related. I think I may have a better explanation. I've been working on it all day. I've been working on it for years, actually. But if you want to know about water, for example, you measure its boiling point, the melting point, the temperatures, its viscosity, what it will dissolve in, what it won't dissolve in, what it tastes like. That's water. But if you want to know about it more, you have to, let's say you suspect that water is made of other things like hydrogen and oxygen, you can't just measure water. You have to break that water into hydrogen and oxygen. And then you have to do tests on oxygen. You want to know what the boiling point, the melting point of oxygen is. You want to know what it will react with in fire. Will it react with carbon, etc.? You want to take hydrogen. You want to do the same thing. You want to see the melting point, the boiling point, the viscosity when it's, etc. So you have to isolate things in order to know about them. And virologists always fail to isolate whatever they're looking at. So what they did is, this is my original criticism, they changed the definition of isolation to mixture, or the word isolate is now mixture. So they can look at a virus strain, which is a mixture of super microbiological matter, including what they think a virus is, and they can claim that they have isolated the virus, but they really the only thing they isolated was what they call the strain. So they isolated a mixture, which is a contradiction of terms. This is a gross contradiction of terms. I mean, it should be an embarrassment to them, and I think it is an embarrassment to them. That's why they pretend they don't have a problem with this terminology. They were assailed, virologists were assailed over this concept of isolation for several decades by the Perth Group in Australia, which is an academic group. And I think they gave up because they wrote a major article, published a major article where they said isolation has no meaning because there's so many contradictions whenever they use the word. If you go through any virological study, you'll see they're claiming isolation when they're not getting isolation. So they finally gave up and just said there is no specific meaning. So they're not allowing argument. Because it's a word that has no meaning. Yet for 100 years before, every time they would claim they isolated the virus. We are the first to isolate the polio virus in 1908. We are the first to isolate the HIV virus in 1994 or something like that. Or I forgot. Gallo isolated it. Montagne isolated HIV. They're all full of crap. So they had to give up and claim that the word has no meaning. But before that, it was on the front page of every newspaper whenever they claimed to isolate a virus. Because isolation, as is done with hydrogen and oxygen from water, is a very powerful analytical tool. But they can't do it with a virus because they can't break those little things, those little tender living molecules, they can't break them down into isolates. It's just technically impossible. And so they don't know what they're looking at because it's all mixed together. And besides that, anything that they see in their tests, like they run animal tests where they inject the so-called virus strain mixture into the brain of a mouse. And then when the mouse gets sick, they claim that's evidence of the virus. But obviously, you shouldn't be injecting disease matter into people's brains, you know. I mean, it's, or mice brains, you know. It's obviously not good evidence for anything, you know. But and the disease they produce never looks like the disease they're studying. They don't get necessarily get paralysis. They get other disease. So anyway, and then so I'm also
Continue.
further straying away from Andrew Kaufman. The reason I advocate Andrew Kaufman is because he's very authoritative. He's supremely confident, almost arrogant, and he speaks very well. And so if people are looking for that kind of presentation,
Does, yeah.
they can find it in Andrew Kaufman. You know, I'm not an expert. I think I'm an expert in my own way of thinking informally, but I don't feel, I know I'm not an authority, but he has authority. He has degrees, you know, with MIT, et cetera, you know, but he is, I think he's more of a psychiatrist than anything else. But the one thing I don't like about him is that he goes on, if he's asked, well, what's causing the pandemic? He will say the pandemic is fake. I agree in part, it's fake. Like all epidemics in part are fake, but they're started with a real core, real death and real disease, just like DDT caused polio, MTBE caused West Nile virus. And I'm saying refinery cyanide is causing the dry cough and fever for COVID-19. After that, I know there's a lot of fakery, but okay. And so now the way he says is the pandemic is fake is that he says, for example, the United States total death rate is less this last year than it was in previous years. So there is no real pandemic, but he's looking at 328 million people by looking at the United States. And of course, you know, in terms of total death, it could be less this year for 328 million. But if you're looking at the epicenters, like the New York City epicenter, they had to change the numbering system for flu type diseases in the tri-state area of Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, this industrial refinery area. They had to change the rating system, which was 1 to 10, right? They had to make a category 11, category 12, category 13 for flu-like diseases in order to convey the amount of flu that is there. It went off the charts. The flu-like diseases went off the charts in those areas. They have box cars, refrigerator cars loaded up in parking lots to handle the dead bodies. There were 800 people per day dying of COVID-19. I know it's a fake diagnostic, but there was a unique diagnostic with the dry cough and the fever. And I personally know a fair amount of people. Like, I know, like, I know there's a group that I'm fairly conversant with. Three of them ended up with this COVID-19 symptom, but they didn't want to go to the hospital or anything because they've heard about how horrible it is, you know. But these are people that didn't go, bother to go, you know. So there's a lot of people who are not going who are getting sick. I know another friend of mine said he personally knows many people who died, you know, and he knows people who know people who died. And I got out of New York for the reason that I saw I felt the pollution building up so bad. I was coughing like crazy, you know, and this was like 4 months before COVID officially hit New York, because they had the record high measles, which was, I think, the same thing, different variation, you know. Maybe a different variation of pollution. But after 40 years, I left New York. You know, it wasn't, there's something real was happening there. The new world is going to be super polluted because all the electric cars are going to require electricity. And that's not be, I don't think it's all going to come from solar panels in the cloudy air places like New York City. They're going to have power plants burning natural gas fuel, and these power plants are burning cheap fracked oil fuel, and that cheap oil is highly toxic. And the oil, when it goes to refinery, one of the main products is cyanide. They have unprecedented levels of cyanide now coming out of the refineries, and they're, like 10 to 20 times more than previous. And they need a place to dump it. So the obvious places are going to dump it into the fuel stream for the electric power plants. And I think that's what's happening. That's it. That's my whole ball of wax. So the fact, I think this is obviously a toxicological phenomenon, like all epidemics are toxicological, because they never talk about the possibility. They did say that long, everybody admitted, all the mainstream admitted that there's a long-term air pollution correlation with COVID. But COVID is a short-term trigger. They won't tell you that the short-term trigger is air pollution. They'll just say the long-term correlation is air pollution. The primary contributor to the epidemic is long-term air pollution. But that's another way of avoiding the short-term, which is exactly what my study is all about, the short-term component of air pollution that is causing the epidemic. And that is the refinery cyanide, which is the byproduct of nitrogen, which comes out of fracked oil. I have the 34 epicenters in a table where I compare 34 different epicenters, and by incidence and by environmental category, which is, and it points clearly to fracked, the exhaust of fracked fuel. Okay, so that's my rant. Is there something that I can argue with you about?
No, good information. Very important information, man.
Something that's not clear, or if I'm,
No,
like,
it's
I know
good.
last week you said, what is a virus? Well, a virus, in my view, is simply a part of the inflammatory response of being poisoned through pollution. And they want to interpret it just like they interpret a
Inflammation,
fever.
huh?
It's an inflammatory response, part of this complex response the body launches into when it's attacked by poisoning, and fever, coughing, those are all part of the inflammatory response. And they just want to interpret, they always want to interpret fever as being evidence of an infection. They've always done that, right? The doctor will give you antibiotics if you come in with a fever, he'll give you aspirin, he'll give you all these things. He'll poison you, basically, like he does with everything. They'll poison you if you say you have a fever. Well, saying I have a fever is like saying you have a virus is like saying you have a fever. And it's evidence of infection, but it's really just one more evidence of the inflammatory response from poisoning,
These
So,
went over at John Rappaport put an article out on Italian study talking about these isolation of nanoparticulates or nanoparticles metals in modern vaccines that are being
right.
injected into children and stuff, and the inflammatory process caused by those nanoparticles. Which makes sense to me, and if that's causing inflammation in the body, then you're getting a whole lot of problems, aren't you, associated with that inflammation there. Bang.
That's not a pandemic trigger. The
No,
timeline
just
is
the
not.
inflammation process, what you're mentioning, is such an important process because when that inflammation happens in the body, it can create so many issues, and I just don't believe that the doctors have any clue. With just the flu-like symptoms, with your nose blocked and blowing your nose and just sore throats and all this sorts of stuff that happen, they just guess what it is. And of course, give you poisoning antibiotics and all sorts of drugs, and you're on your way. And we did talk that with you about that a lot, about how the antibiotics will make you feel good in the moment, but you're not really feeling good. It's
Yeah,
just
it's like having a shot of alcohol or something. You know, it'll make you feel good in the short run, but then you got to pay a price with a hangover later on, you know. So.
well, yeah, it's a but and also another critical point which we always discuss, and what I've been talking to people, but they look at me like an alien, you know. He's just talking to some families that I mentioned earlier on about how they're getting, because we've just well, what are we? We're in the hit of winter has just hit, and it's pretty cold. I got to tell you, in Sydney here, around here, it's cold. It's right down there. It's been raining now. It's freezing, really. And that I was talking about before, they're getting their kids tested because they're coughing, right? So their kids have a little bit of a persistent cough, and they're worried that it's COVID-19. So they're taking them all the way to the bloody hospital and going through these special tests that they've got to do, and then the whole family's stressing out that they've got COVID-19. And just having a light, very light conversation with them, I'm hearing that the kids are locked in their bedrooms, windows shut, doors shut, with heaters on all night. And I'm like, so you have the heater on in your child's bedroom, the one that's coughing? Yes. And you've got a gas heater in the lounge room on all night? Yes. And you're cooking with gas? Yes. You don't have the windows and doors open? No, it's too cold. And you call your kid's coughing, and it's COVID-19. Okay.
Wow.
But and then I say, well, watch out for those heaters. Watch out for that, because you know that this kind of I've had that situation where I had a gas heater on, and we were getting sick, and my kid was coughing, and I had to get rid of it. Ever since I got rid of all that heating and stuff, and had the windows open, it's freezing cold. It's like down to 6 degrees or something here, Jim. And I've got the window open right now when I'm talking to you, and there's this cold sea breeze coming in. I haven't been sick, and I tell them, watch out for those heaters and locking the kids in the room with the heaters, because they're going to wake up with flu-like symptoms. I get the look as I'm an alien. They just
Yeah.
don't get it. And I'm like, you're locking your kid in their bedroom at night under the doonas, the window's shut, there's no ventilation, and you've got an electric heater blasting all night.
And the kids on the
And
internet.
you got all the devices on, and the EMF pumping through, and the whole house pumped with it. And I'm just like, the heaters, man, the heaters and the and everything, just watch that. Nah. Nah. They're not going to listen. I'm going to get them tested. I'm like
And if you and I like what you say about the alien look, you make the slightest intelligent look, and it's like, uh-oh, you're a live one, you know. They're gonna send the vandals after you, you know. It's
Well,
like,
it's the whole thing that we talked about you many times. It's going home from work, you're freezing cold, it's raining. People don't realize it's cold in Sydney, man. It's really cold here. It's bitterly cold at the moment. And you go home, and that's what they said. That's what I talk to people about. I just push a little bit, and they say, you know, oh man, I got to go home and sit in front of the heater.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I
But the
understand, it's awesome, especially gas, natural gas, as they call it, heater, because you got the flame, and you put turn that thing on, and you just sit next to it, and oh, it feels great, you know.
well,
But
the electric heater will also fry you with EMF, you know.
of course, all night next to the kid's bed.
Yeah, you can get cancer from those things, you know.
It's.
I've been near them, gotten pretty sick, you know.
But what I'm saying, Jim, is everything that you're talking about, you also contribute so importantly to what's going on in people's houses in the middle of winter, because they've milked the government, as they call themselves, and our AMA, Australian Medical Association clowns, have milked this COVID-19 thing right into our winter, because you know it happened a couple of you know we've gone right into our winter now in June, and they've really walked us into this, and they know that people are getting these flu-y symptoms in winter, and they're all going to go get their tests because they
So
think
you're going
because
to have a
everybody
different.
thinks they've got it now, COVID-19, because the kids are coughing.
Yeah, because it's a flu-like disease, you know.
Yeah, but they associate with that with a virus, of
Yeah.
course. But it's so hard to get people can't get their heads around that. That's the hardest thing of all, and you can't even start a conversation up because they really do believe in so much that they've contracted a virus off someone.
Yeah, they believe in the system so quickly and so with so little conversation. But if you were to say, you know, if you were talking about, these are the same people that are believing, are the same people who were fighting against the Vietnam War and stuff like that, you know, they were the people against the Gulf War, the same people who were so critical of government. They jump all over these virus things, you know. You say the word virus and they love it, you know.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah, it's like they need it or they want it or they're searching it out. So in that way, you know, we're only being given what we really want in a deep way, which is really sick. It's just bizarre. It's like people are so scared of getting a virus, and it's a great way to control the population and have the lockdowns and social distancing, and really anything they want to do can come on the back of this fear of getting a virus, even just completely taking out our cash and bringing in a cashless society, restricting everything that we do in our lives, changing the way we travel, changing the way people go to work and everything like that. Everything in our lives can now be changed and restricted, and they can bring in a police state. They can do whatever they want to us. They can have more of a medical system. They can bring in mandatory flu shots and COVID-19 shots because it's all run on the back of the fear of getting a virus off someone that's going to cough near you. It's a deep fear that humans have in them, and that's the way the medical establishment and the big pharmaceutical companies have been able to feed off us for how long now.
It's also a demonstration. You know, Big Brother is basically demonstrating to people like us, sort of like a circus, a three-ring circus, and saying, hey, look what we can do to your best friends. You know, we can have your best friend acting like a total idiot. Watch this. And they run their routine on TV. And so pretty soon your best, somebody who you thought was your best friend, somebody you thought was smart, is suddenly jumping around like a trained flea, you know? You know? Their brother's kind of like now, in a way, our friend, sort of saying, hey, you know, you watch this, you know. Now watch this, you know. Now, you know, and you're going, oh my God, you know.
I think it's, I know. I think one of the biggest things to happen lately to show that we are being scammed and mocked is George Floyd, this black man who supposedly was killed by the white cop to create the riots and racial division in America. They said that after the autopsy or whatever, they discovered that that George Floyd had COVID-19. And to me, that's just mocking us. It really is. It's happened in Australia as well. I was telling you about the guy in the mining town. That they said he died of COVID-19, Jim. Well, now the media have come out and said he didn't have it.
Yeah.
And I looked in the I thought this was fake news, and maybe it is fake news, but they're saying that you in the UK, you can't have sex with someone in your house that's from outside your neighbourhood or whatever. And now what's coming up today is that it says this is from The Telegraph in the UK. It says avoid singing or shouting when meeting with family or friends, scientists warn. They're saying singing or shouting when meeting friends and family could increase the risk of spreading coronavirus. Britain's leading scientists has warned.
Yeah, I was afraid that they might make music illegal like they do in the Muslim countries.
Yeah, we could be going there.
They could do that. They could make music illegal. I mean, like, that is – I mean, can you imagine the Muslim thing of making music illegal?
Well, I guess it's anything that expresses joy and true human behavior. You know,
if you could get into music or art, you don't really need much money to be happy.
It's a way of controlling, yeah.
Right. So if they can eliminate that, then you got to go to the factory.
Yeah, they're telling people not to sing or, or play music around friends. So, you know, I went over this on a recent podcast, Jim, how they're talking in Australia, and this was from the mainstream media, how our workplaces and everything are going to change because when you log into work, they don't want people touching buttons anymore. So it's all going to be facial recognition, and how they're saying maybe cubicles in the office spaces will be full of perspex, you know, like you're behind a bank, you're at a bank, you know, and so how they've already got TV commercials where they're saying, you know, if you're in your office, at your job every day, that you not to touch anyone or shake hands, you know, that there's these other ways that you can say hi to people now. And they're making all this up. So it's really dehumanizing us and all of that, isn't it? And I think this is, as I keep saying, it's a war on consciousness, on our soul almost, you know. And it's degrading us in such a way. And you could be right there. Yeah, they could be just wanting to take away anything that creates joy, anything that we express ourselves through is now a threat. Yeah. Touching anything is now a threat because we can spread the virus. So now you have to go to the factory. As you said, yeah, it's crazy.
I was talking to a friend who was totally bought into the COVID thing and self-isolating and all that, and a very social person normally, right? And still social, but on the telephone and etc., you know. But I was talking in person, and I reached out and I put my hand on her shoulder, you know, and I could see that she was very thankful that I broke the rule. You know what I mean? You know, because there's nothing, you got to have some human touch.
Yeah, it's like one of those science fiction horror movies where people can't touch anymore. There's no emotions allowed, you know?
Yeah. It's an amazing science fiction reality. You know?
Yeah. And that's what I said. It's all done the back, all brought in on the back of fear of getting a virus. Create the story of a virus, and you can pretty much do anything in modern society because people, when they're scared of getting the virus and they don't want their families to get it, they'll pretty much do anything. And that's what a way to bring in absolute control.
Yeah. If you can think of a reason, you can control people if you're an authority. All you have to do is think of a reason that sounds intelligent and base it on a virus, and you can have people doing backflips, you know. You know.
Fear, huh? I keep coming back to fear, Jim.
I guess it's fear. I don't know if it's fear or this just dog-like behavior, you know.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I feel like fear is, I don't know, it feels like that's how they're running things always, through that fear. I mean, it's like a modern culture has become so self-centered and self-obsessed. They're so worried about themselves because that's all they think that they are. You know, a lot of people have that atheist outlook that there's just this life, and then when you die, that's it. It's just blackness. And it's like, so they're so busy in their lives creating and building up this selfish self-image around them, and all their identities and all the things and their possessions and everything, that the threat of that being cracked open and that they could get sick and die will force them into any kind of behavior that the government wants them to. So, you know, and so they're willing to give up all their rights and everything. But I feel like at the end of the day, that's all done through fear of self and fear of death.
Yeah. But the fear to want to belong, it's, they've made the herd want to be together by being isolated. Weird, you know what I mean? The herd behavior is now isolating oneself from the herd. It you know, it's like the ultimate trick. You know? The pretty soon they're gonna say the only way you can survive is by shooting yourself in the head with a gun. You know, it's like and they'll do it.
Yeah, we want you to walk off this cliff onto the rocks below.
And that way you will survive. And people will go, okay. You know.
Yeah.
But they're appealing to – the herd is so strong. The herd is willing to self-isolate. You know, that's the ultimate contradiction. They've showed how far they can take it. It's the The herd will be the anti-herd if
Oh,
that's what it's required to do.
yeah, I do feel like a lot of people are waking up to the COVID scam, you know. Whether they follow what we're talking about or not, I guess it's not too important because they are waking up and seeing that this is all just crap, you know, and all this social distancing and lockdowns. And then I'm seeing a big awakening in that regard around the world, especially in the US, because there was. From what I could see, there was some great protests, and there was a lot of people just saying, "No, we're not going to do this anymore." And then, as I said, they've switch-footed and brought in the race card.
Right, but political power is going to the irrational people, the segment of society, which is, and the power goes to the weak-minded.
Yeah.
So because the people who are figuring this stuff out now are can't help but laugh at the ones who are the believers. And so now the people who figure it out are a threat to the gullible. So the gullible now they have to double down, and they can have to use the legal powers. Like it's now it's been made legal to sue an establishment that does not follow the COVID line strictly, the COVID protection rules, So that could really upset the, all these businesses. They have to enforce the mask thing because they can be sued if somebody catches COVID-19 and they find out that the store did not follow the rules strictly. They could sue them, So it's just such, it seems like a wasteland. This is one of the great wasteland is opening up,
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, there was a big German report as well that this has all been overblown, and John Rappaport did an article on that. COVID-19, a movie on the screen of life. How in Germany the Interior Ministry has come out and said this is all just a false alarm, and so this is all these riots. You know, it does just drag us down another path. You know.
Did you find that original German report? I read about it, but I never actually
I
read
think I
the
po
report.
I think I posted something. I'll have a look with the link there, but I'll check. Came out maybe about a week ago, or definitely a few days to a week ago anyway. But it happened in Italy, definitely, because I saw the videos of the politicians on the floor of the parliament there. You know, they were saying that there was all crap, you know, that they were exploiting and blowing up the numbers of COVID deaths from Italy. And I actually do have the original document saved from the Ministry of Health there. Yeah.
Okay,
Department of
great.
Health, where they looked through all the numbers, and it was from doctors and everything. And then you got these Italian politicians up there screaming on the floor of Parliament, you know, that this is all just a monstrous lie, and people need to be honest about what's really happening there. And that didn't happen, what they said. So, you know, I think they feel maybe used as well in Italy, maybe, you know, but at least they got some fight in them, which is good about their country. They have some fight there. Which was good to see them get up and stand up and yell back, you know. Whether it's going to change anything, I don't know. But it's been an operation in every country and around the world. And now it's spreading to Africa and Brazil and India, of course. And now they're all getting it. So they can make up whatever they want there.
Well, there's also, they could, if people don't address, though, it's good to have people questioning, but if they don't question the virus itself, and if they don't question the pollution, this thing can come back. They can still have the leverage to talk people back into it and to actually create the symptoms to instigate a new second wave.
Yeah,
All they have
exactly.
to All they have to do is play with the refinery, global refinery protocols, and they can have an epidemic occurring anytime. And then they can hype that core of reality into a larger pandemic,
Yeah. Anytime they
People,
want.
So
They've
people
created
have
the
to look.
perfect storm, haven't they?
Well, they have the controllable perfect storm
They
that
can
people
bring it
want
out
to
at a whim now.
recognize.
They can bring it out whenever they want. They can say that all the protests are spreading it. It's come back whenever they want to. And it's like Osama bin Laden and 9/11, the war on terror. Dick Cheney said, we'll never win the war on terror. It'll never go away. And it never did it? And it's just the COVID-19 is another boogeyman, but it's different because it's to do with us and our health that we could get it. And so they can carry it on forever and ever and ever. And I don't think our normal lives, our daily lives are ever going to go back to normal. It's certainly not happening here. It's certainly not happening. I think our travel, everything's going to change. They're already saying, Jim, that, you know, all the sporting events, everything that you really want to go, people are saying that when you go and have a coffee or you go into shops, they want your phone numbers and they want your information because it's part of the government opening process. So, you know, it hasn't gone away. It's still going on here. And
even if it did, the pandemic ended, absolutely ended, and everything's back to normal. We have learned that we can never trust the average person. You know, we know that there's a triggerable maniac in every person, you know, in most people. You know what I mean? We've learned a horrible thing about the state of humanity, you know. What people have been brought to, you know.
Well, that's what I've seen everywhere here as well. You got parents, you see them walk along the road, and then they stop and they go on one knee and they bring out the hand sanitizer and they're scrubbing it on little Jimmy's hands, you know. And I noticed as well, just with people, some people, as you said, you had a good reaction, but some people, you step near them and they're still stepping away from you. And I was thinking, I was making jokes a while ago that maybe some people are going to be turned into these manic kind of compulsive, obsessive people, you know, where they put handkerchiefs on doorknobs to open them. And then it gets so bad where they can't even come out of their apartments because they become germophobes. And I'm thinking, this is what they're turning us into. And, they're worried about all these germs around us, and it demonizes the natural world around us. And I always cover that with you as well, that we've been made to be scared of nature, that nature is going to get us, you know? And so it's turning people into these manic, out of control, hand washing, sanitizer using maniacs who think they're going to pick up this COVID-19 from touching a knob or you know, anywhere out in their day-to-day lives, you know. And this is what they're imprinting into their children as well, who are becoming these clean freaks. And we know what that creates as well in society. And it's going to become like these hospitals where they use too much cleaners and and antibiotics and stuff, where it's just not going to be a good situation for anybody. And I think it's going to make parents, they don't even want their little kids to get their hands dirty anymore in the dirt outside. You've got dirt on your shoe, you've got dirt under your nails. We can scrub. This is what they're doing to us, you know. It's horrible.
Yeah, we scrubbed so much and he still got sick. I don't know what's wrong, doctor.
That's right. Yeah, hospitals. Yeah. The one place you're going to get sick in is a hospital with all the bloody bleach and cleaning products and all the stuff they use. Yeah, the people don't understand, but germs are all over us. That's what creates healthy kids, you know. Healthiest kids live in the country areas, you know, with the animals and in these kinds of conditions, and it's really crazy what they're doing to people, but they're getting people to comply in that way, and it's really almost psychotic to think of that and watch it, you know, to see people step away from you, that they're paranoid, that you're going to give them some, that you got germs on you, you know, I've seen people actually pushing through doors. I've seen them opening doors with their elbows. The door with the elbow. I'm sure they're going to carry around poking sticks soon, you know, to poke you out of the way. And, all of this. So, you know, the gloves and this kind of what a serial killer would be like. It's just crazy.
I tell you, man, if anybody's listening in on this show, they're going to haul you away to the funny farm, man.
I think so, yeah. Well, I did send you the 12 Monkeys clip, didn't I, with Brad Pitt, how he's talking about the germs in the mental hospital.
Right, right.
Where the doctors invented the germs And everyone, wash your hands. And yeah, they're going to haul me away. Yeah, I know, 12 monkeys style. It's I haven't changed any protocols here, you know, at all. I don't buy into one speck of it, but I've noticed that there is a component of society that are being unknowingly converted into this kind of clean freak. Wash hands, sanitizer. I've never seen people so obsessed with sanitizer. I mean, they can't get enough sanitizer. They're like drug addicts. You know, got to go to the care. You got sanitizer. You got anyone got sanitizer? And it got so bad where they created a false shortage of sanitizer, like the toilet paper. It was all done on purpose. It's another psychological operation. And it got so bad in Australia where they were telling us that we don't have enough sanitizer. It's like the flu shot. We're going to run out of the flu shot this flu season. You better come in and line up for it. There's not going to be enough. Creating hype and then selling a product.
You can make your own, though. I think you just add a little 1% of bleach to water.
Right? Yeah, tea tree oil. We've got tea tree, eucalyptus oil. Tea tree oil in Australia. Put some tea tree oil on your hands and rub it in. You're done.
Yeah,
but they're even buying all those oils and tea tree and eucalyptus oils and stuff. Tea tree's the best. We have the native tea tree in Australia, Jim. It's a fantastic sanitizer. If you want to use it, it's really good. You can clean the toilet with it. You can scrub your floors with it. You can clean the house with it, your dishes. You can brush your teeth with it if you want to. You can swim in it. It's an amazing thing to use for all the family, and it's a great plant in Australia and a simple thing. But that all went off the shelves as well. I couldn't even get that. And then I noticed that in the pharmacies or the drugstores, which you guys call them, they had little boxes of hand sanitizer on there, and you had to go and grovel to the lady. And I saw these guys come in overcoats, you know, when I was in there, and they're like, "Got some hand sanitizer? Got some hand sanitizer?" And the lady's like, "Excuse me, hand sanitizer." And then she'd give him a little hand sanitizer, and he'd go off and rub it on his hands in the corner. They're like drug addicts. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, pretty crazy. You know, it's getting pretty late over here. I think it's
maybe I should put some hand sanitizer in an overcoat, Jim, and go into the park and then open my coat, you know, have hand sanitizer in there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't rub it off, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, yes.
3:30 in the morning here. I'm getting sleepy.
Yes, absolutely.
Actually, I'm afraid I won't be able to go to sleep. I'm laughing too much, you know.
Well, we don't want to do that to you, Jim. Just take it easy. We need you and your research and your work. Havoa.org. I'll put links up anyway. And great talking with you tonight. You let me know when you want to plug in again, and we'll do that again.
Okay, probably next Saturday.
Okay. Know. Have a good Sunday and enjoy. Relax. Don't join any Antifa riots.
Thank you very much, Adam. Take care.
Okay, Jim.